Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
So I thank you. I thank you for giving us this time, for allowing us the opportunity to open the Word. We're going to talk about Nepal. I'm going to tell my stories. You know how it goes. But we're going to have church together, okay? We'll look into God's Word together. We'll see what God has to say specifically for this moment, for us, where we are living right now, what's happening in our lives. And yes, we're going to reflect on how that fits into the greater picture of God's will all over the earth and reaching those who haven't heard His name. But God is here to speak to us today. Amen. Because God always speaks through His Word. His Word, it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us that the Scripture is inspired, which means God breathed. If you have one of the newer translations, it says, all Scripture is God breathed. This was the Apostle Paul, and he's talking to the pastor Timothy, and he's just reminding him that the Scripture is not just words. It's not just story. It's not just something that we read and think about, but it is the actual breath of God. Because God breathed into those that He chose to pen His words. And then from His words, when we read them, when we begin to meditate on them, God again breathes into us. Amen? The picture is Adam. Adam, just before he has life, he's just laying there. God's made him from the clay. I don't know how to be an Adam without, but anyway, you're just there. You're nothing. You know, you're just a lump of dirt, right? And you're just there. And God leans over him and breathes into him the breath of life. Can you imagine being Adam? He's just laying there, nothing. I can't imagine absolutely nothing. I can't even do that to try to go to sleep. You know, they say, try to think of nothing, it'll help you sleep. Never works for me. It's still just 90 miles an hour. But somehow, Adam's nothing. He's got nothing. He's laying there, lump of clay. And God leans over him and breathes into him the breath of life. God breathed, inspired Adam. Inspired. It's God's Spirit breathing into Adam. He breathes in, and there's Adam. And he comes alive with the breath of God. This is what the Word of God does for us. When we begin to take in what God has written for us, what He has breathed into others for us, we receive His life. Thank you for entrusting me with this role in this service of opening God's Word for us to breathe it in together. Amen. Let's pray that God will inspire us this morning, that God will breathe into us through His Word, through what He has to say to us, through what He has written. Even thousands of years ago, it is alive, and it is for us. I'm thankful for the worship team. I begin to breathe in God, you know, through the worship. They're really good. Those Christmas songs are hard to play. I grew up, my mom's a music teacher, and I grew up, you know, learning all the instruments, trying to play piano, playing other instruments. Christmas is the hardest Sunday of all because those songs got all those minors in there and everything. Thank you. It's beautiful, wonderful worship. And sister, if I had your voice to sing like you sang, I would just sing all the time. That was awesome. Just beautiful. Thank you. Because we begin to receive Him, to breathe Him in. Let's pray together this morning. Let's commit ourselves to be inspired, to breathe in what God has for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we are here for You. We're here to adore You, to worship You, God. We're here, oh God, for You. And God, we thank You that as we worship You, as we adore You, as we meditate on You, God, Lord, that You breathe into us. You begin to inspire us. So we open our heart and receive it today. We receive what You have for us through Your Word, and we thank You for it. We commit ourselves as we receive to obey, to step out and do that You inspire us to do. We thank You for it and commit to it today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm from Butler, Alabama. Anybody know? I found out how Rimlap got its name today. It's Palmer spelled backwards. That was hilarious. But David told me that. Butler, down there, if you know where Butler is, probably you were asking directions to get somewhere else. Butler, Alabama, down, go straight down from Tuscaloosa, just keep going. And when you, like, don't see any other buildings, then turn about 30 minutes into the woods, and That's us. That's where I grew up. My wife also. My wife's in the back. She's helping me with the PowerPoint and stuff today. Before we start, I want to do some what we call in Butler dirt work. Dirt work means site preparation in big letters. You know, foundational work. My wife has an uncle, Uncle Chippy, his name is, and that's what he does. When I was first met him, you know, my family's not originally from Butler, so we were having to learn Butler language, you know, Butlerese or whatever, Butlerese. And I asked, you know, what this is Uncle Chippy, what does he do? She said, well, he does dirt work. So that means that he has like bulldozers and all those things to prepare the ground before you put a building on there. His site preparation, foundational work. So before we look at the particular passage this morning that God is going to direct us toward, that I believe this week that he has directed me toward, we need a foundational understanding about God that will help us, that will frame everything that we're about to look at in his word specifically. Something about God that we take for granted sometimes. If you travel, you go to other countries, you see other religions, then not so much. But we need to understand this morning that God is love. Amen. God is love. God is love. Only love. His very nature, his essence, all that he is love. Now, I know we think, but wait, what about the judgment? What about correction? All of that is motivated by God's love. Everywhere we see correction in the scripture, where we see judgment coming in the scripture or for our lives, it's always because God loves us so much, he wants to bring us back to the path, to the right path. To move us away from that if we continue on the wrong path, the pain and the hurt and the damage that will come into our life and the lives of others. What God wants for us is all motivated by love. So God is love. And we think about the pain and the hurt that exist in the world. That's not God's design. God's design was the Garden of Eden. Amen? That's the way God intended. That's what God designed for us. He wanted us to know him and know his love. He created us to be his children so that he could love us, to love his children. And it was sin that came in and destroyed that, that changed the path, that brought the pain and the suffering. But then God, in his love, he loved the world so much that he sent his only son to come and recreate. To bring back the design that God had intended. And he is working his design, creating that design again in us and through us. So that his will of love, his way, his loving way, his loving presence can again be dominant in our lives and dominant in his creation. This is just dirt work. We haven't started yet. It's just foundation. Saints don't play till tomorrow night, so it's okay. I saw on your website that you're a Saints fan. I grew up in Butler. We only got one channel in Butler, Channel 11, out of Meridian, Mississippi, and they had only one game on Sunday. It was the Saints. So they started when I was a little kid. The Saints were born when I was a little kid, and they were horrible. If you know the history of that team, they were horrible. The fans would wear paper bags over their heads. That's true. We were that bad. But we loved them. You know, they were our team. They were the only team that we really knew about in Butler, Alabama, you know, in the pros. So we were just all about them, and they were terrible. And then they went from being terrible to being almost good enough to win. And they would get that close and lose it at the end. Those were tough years, boy. Those were tough. But now they're okay. So they don't play tomorrow night. So we don't have to rush today. We got all afternoon. All the other teams, their division, have all lost out, so we're in good shape. I'm just kidding. We got other teams to root against, so it's okay. We won't be long, I promise. Because once you get that foundational understanding in mind, once we really know what God is, that God is love, then everything else quickly begins to make sense. Things begin to fall into place. Look with me in Exodus chapter 20, verse 21. Exodus 20, 21. Thank you, Ramona. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. This is a passage, we're jumping right into the story of the children of Israel. The children of Israel is a beautiful picture Those who are in education call it like kinetic education or kinetic teaching, kinetic learning. You know, like you learn by moving. This is the way that the children of Israel, this is how they learn. God moved them. They actually acted out the principles, the concepts that God was trying to teach them, the spiritual things. He was given natural or physical pictures for them or examples so that they could understand the spiritual, because they had no understanding at all. Their background was a complete separation from God, which is where we begin in our relationship with God, a complete separation. But God still cared about them, and he was working with them. And this verse takes place in the place where they've now been rescued from all that is Egypt, all of the captivity, everything of the life of a slave. They've been released from that. And as they're released from that, now they've gone across the Red Sea, the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. They've walked across and they're starting their life. And as they go, they're going to get the Ten Commandments. That is going to guide how they relate to one another and how they relate to God. And at that time, they reached a place, Mount Sinai. Moses, their leader, then goes up to Mount Sinai. And this passage takes place. It says, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. So let's see this with our imagination. God given us imagination so that we'll be able to picture these things in our mind. Let's see this. Here's all the people. They're down in, must have been a valley or a low place. And they're looking up at Mount Sinai. Moses is on his way up the hill. And as he goes up the hill, a thick darkness. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I looked up this. I have a smartphone. So I looked up this Hebrew word, thick darkness, because I'm like, what is that? What is thick darkness? What is that? So this was a word that they used. They put two words together in Hebrew to come up with this concept. One was drooping or dripping, something coming down, something kind of drooping. And the other was a word for dark. So what was happening was this darkness came down. They later used this word for their word for gloom. When someone's feeling gloomy, a situation is gloomy, this was their word. This thick darkness was there. Now, we usually associate God with light and brightness. And we think, well, you know, when God comes, all is light. But the concept that we can begin to understand when we realize the love of God is that this thick darkness is where God was. Because God was helping them to understand. He was building a physical picture that would unlock a spiritual understanding for them that God is in our darkness. Amen. Amen. Think of the beginning of creation. As we look at those first few verses, the first few moments of creation in the beginning, there was God. And God began to look out over this formless void. And darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering there over the waters. In the darkness, there was God. Yes, we associate him with light and we think of him as bringing brightness. And that is true. But we must understand that God is in the darkness as well. Amen. God is in our darkness. And from this physical concept in the Old Testament, we begin to understand something that brings us into this new covenant, this new relationship with God, that God is with us in our darkness. In the spiritual darkness that was Egypt, in the spiritual darkness that they were wandering around in with the children of Israel, having no relationship with God, he was there. He was with them. He was hurting with them. He was feeling their pain and their chains, and he was hearing their calls to him. Even though they were in the darkness, even though they didn't know how to relate to him, he's there with them. This is the picture from the Old Testament that unlocks New Testament understanding, New Testament concepts, new covenant, new relationship concepts with God as we're able to know that he is with us in the darkness. It is on this principle that we're able to do what we do in the nation of Nepal, because Nepal is spiritually dark. Nepal is right between India on the south and China, which is actually Tibet. Those are only two borders. And it is a dark, dark country, spiritually speaking. Everywhere we go, we face idols. This is Kali. If you know anything about Hinduism, God of destruction, God of creation, how that works, I'm not exactly sure. Everywhere we go, on every block, there's at least one corner that's dedicated, cornerstone, that's dedicated There's a small temple there. Animal sacrifice is still very common in Nepal. We had a lady from the U.S. came to visit us. And we went to pick up our kids from school. And she rode along with us. And she's waiting in the car while I ran in to get our kids. And there was a little temple right in front of the school, right outside the school gate. And while we were there, the little sacrifice took place. And so when I came out, she's just like, you know, she's going nuts. She's freaking out. And she said, "They killed a little dog. They killed a little dog." And I was like, I think it was probably a baby goat, but still unsettling, you know. It's still darkness. Still, this is the spiritual darkness. The nation of Nepal, until just recently, the world's only Hindu kingdom. Just like you have an Islamic state, they were a Hindu kingdom dedicated to Hindu gods. And with this darkness comes a persecution, comes an anti-Christian force. Most of the pastors that I work with, those guys that I have an honor being with, have spent time in prison. As we sit together, you know, I'm careful how we relate because I'm just in awe of them. That they have lived a life, whether them or their parents, have been persecuted. Many of them have no relationship with their family because they've been put out. Family persecution. This is spiritual darkness. This is the depth of that thick darkness, that gloom that just sits over the country. And you can feel it. When people come and visit, they go, "Wow, I've never really believed in that demonic stuff so much before, but wow." Spiritual darkness, a thick darkness, but God is there. Amen. God is there and he is working. He is working in that darkness. I have a picture of my friend Josh and a guy we met. This guy in the middle is Jai Singh. It's a picture of how God is working. One of the ways that we do church planting in Nepal, if you know anything about Nepal, it's mountains. Not only do we have Mount Everest, and most people know that, but we have 8 of the 10 world's tallest mountains are in our country. So everything's mountains. Right down on the Indian border, it flattens out a little bit. But from that border, you can see mountains. It is mountain country. So as we go out, we have to do church planting that fits that context. And in that place, because of those mountains and because they are so poorly developed, most of the country, most of the houses don't have electricity. And most of them don't even get good radio waves from very far away because of the height of those mountains they live in. It blocks radio waves. We have to have a tower at each mountaintop. So the only way, of course, you know, is you go. You go. So we load up. We put backpacks on. And the way we go out, we call it trekking. It's like hiking or something. And we make a big circuit. We leave our vehicle with the police, you know, at the end of the road. There's not a lot of roads. We just got East-West Highway, and we got the China Border Road. And that's pretty much our paved roads, a few little spurs off of that. So you go to the end of wherever the dirt road will take you. Leave your vehicle, and then we hike. And we go from village to village to village. You go around like that, and we're sharing stories. Stories about God. We often begin with a story of Moses, so that they can get that concrete, that really physical kind of understanding about what God does in the life. And then we explain to them, and it is through this Moses, after he's, you know, taken the Israelites out, that God revealed all how he created the earth and everything in it. So this is our way. This is our method. And as we're going around, we're looking for those where there's a person of peace or some sort of spark, you know, something that's happening. So in this case, we're going along, and you can see behind there, that's what Nepal looks like everywhere, those mountains. And they have terraced farming. It goes upside the mountain like that. They cut these terraces, and then they plant their crops on there. So we're going along, and Josh is with me, and Josh's wife, Lindy. They're like part of our team, and we're going around. And so Lindy sees on the side of the hill a lot of ladies, and they're cutting the grass, working in the field, and it's getting toward the end of the day. So she says, "Hey, let's get here at the bottom of the trail where they all have to come down to go back to the village." And she said, "I'll start talking with them, see if I can gang them up, and we'll do some storying with them. I'll tell them some stories." I'm like, "Great idea." So this happens. They start coming down. She starts chatting. They're amazed that she can speak their language, and she's joking with them. And pretty soon she's got a group of ladies, and they're there on the side of the hill, kind of like an amphitheater. She's there at the bottom of the trail. And Josh and I are standing off to the side watching this. She starts, begin the story, and as she does, this guy starts down the trail coming this way. And so, guy, he's just bopping along. You can see, he looked pretty rough. So he's coming along, you know, and he sees the crowd, so he just wanders over, you know, curious, see what's going on. We're out there, way out, near Tibetan border. And when he sees what's going on, he comes and plops himself right in front of Lindy. Just sits right in the middle of women, just sits down right in front of Lindy and starts listening. Everything's going pretty good, and she's telling what we call the Christmas story. She's telling, and she starts with a little bit of background, you know, about God. And then she said, and God, he loved us so much, his creation, that he sends his son. And she starts telling that. And then she starts telling about Mary and Joseph. She said, Mary and Joseph. So they had to travel to another city. And as they're traveling along, and she's trying to relate the story, you know, making it real for them. And then she says, and they arrived in the town of Bethlehem. And when she said Bethlehem, this old guy starts jumping up. Oh, Bethlehem, Bethlehem. I know that place. I know that place. Bethlehem. I've been there. You know, we're like, oh, boy. So, you know, she starts trying to tell him, no, it's not near here. Sorry, it's another country. And she tries to clarify a little bit. He ain't having it, though. No, I've been there. You know, so Josh goes over and he's trying to calm the guy down. You know, people are laughing. And so finally, Josh gets it pretty calm, and Lindy moves on with the story. So she's doing well. She's telling the story. Things are going good, and he's listening pretty good. And then she says, then, after Jesus was born, he starts his ministry. She's got him doing miracles. She said, and then he travels to the city of Jerusalem. Well, when she said Jerusalem, here he goes again. You know, he's like, Jerusalem. You know, he's mispronouncing. He's yelling, I know that place. I know that. I've been there. So then I go over. You know, I'm a little older, so I was like, sir, come over here, let me talk to you, you know. And so I try to explain to him a little bit, you know, that the country you're talking about, it's not my country, but it's not here either. It's another country that God chose. I'm trying to do all that. And he goes, I know, I've been there. It's like, and he goes, I was there. He said, I was in the Nepali army. And when I was in the Nepali army, they sent us to work with the United Nations. And the United Nations sent us to the Middle East as peacekeepers. He said, I've been to Jerusalem, Tel Aviv. He starts naming them off. I says, sir, I apologize. How about tell us all about your experience, you know? And so he does. And he says, yeah, no, we lived there. It was there for several years. He said, and whenever we had our furlough days, we had days off, we would visit these tourist sites. And he said, I heard about this Jesus. He said, I heard of this famous person and where he was born and where they killed him. He said, but I didn't know what the story was. I just knew these places. He said, but something was happening. I felt like something was happening. And he said, at night, sometimes I would just look up at the sky. He said, I never forgot it. He said, sometimes I even think about it now. And he said, and then today I'm walking down the trail, and here you are at my village telling me the story about this Jesus. Yeah, he turns. Of course, Josh and I are just crying. You know, we're like, oh, God is really here. And his name is Jaya Singh. He looks over at the ladies and he goes, we need to hear this story. He said, this is important. Let's listen. This is true. And he sat back down. Now we have a house church in Jaya Singh's house. This is not the picture from that day. This is another day we gave him a hat because it was cold. And we gave him a toboggan. We have church in his house because God was there in the darkness, going ahead of us into this place where these people had never heard the name of Jesus. He was the only one in the whole area who had ever heard the name. They hear Christian. They have no idea what it means. They heard the message of Christ. Because God was already with us in the darkness. This is the story of Nepal. This is the way that God does. And we just keep being amazed by it. This is what our partnership, us together, the way that you pray for us and support us, you make these things possible. Because then we can go into the darkness where God is. And he's raising up his church there. He is causing people to be able to know how much he loves them, to know that he's a loving God. Nepal, this is called Navajiva, New Life Church.
This is only one service. Every morning that I have church, they have two of these. They pack it out. There's people actually sitting outside. You see these guys in the back. They're looking out trying to keep people because there's like, it's just packed. We don't even use chairs. Nepal, no need for chairs. It's, you know, they put a rug down so we can pack. So it's just kind of their custom, but also it works great for space. You can just pack them in. Women sit on one side, men sit on the other. Kids run back and forth between the two. That's church in Nepal. And it is happening. This church has two services, and they have started over 100 house churches, daughter works even, because God is in the darkness. Amen. Now, we still only have less than 2% believers in Nepal. We got a long way to. There's a lot of places where God is in the darkness waiting for us to come and join him in his work there. But it's happening. We know that God is with us, that God is going to be in the spiritual darkness. He's in the physical darkness. We see that. We see it from Scripture. We understand it from who he is. He's everywhere. And his loving presence is in the spiritual darkness. And this morning I feel that God is wanting to comfort us in understanding that God is in emotional darkness as well. For me, my family had been blessed. We had some loss in our family, but I had never really experienced grief and a next of kin kind of situation. This past year, this year, 2017 in August, my father passed away. And though that it had been a long struggle for him, he was older, he had health problems, it happened suddenly when it did happen. And being with my mom and walking her through that, carrying myself, but also, you know, with my mom. This week, as I was preparing the sermon, as I'm looking at these verses and all, I just, you know, would share it with her. She's a great teacher. She's had a Sunday school class, you know, she's had a small group for a long time. And I was talking the scripture out with her, as I often do whenever I can. I'll call her and kind of work sermons out on the phone with her. And we begin to talk about how that God is with us in emotional darkness. That whatever has brought about the hurt, the pain, the grief, that's not God's design. He is a loving Heavenly Father. His desire is for us to know his comfort, to know his peace. And he is there with us in that darkness, in the difficulties. And even over time, he can restore the joy that comes from his loving presence being with us. God is love, and he is in the darkness. Physical, spiritual, emotional darkness, whatever it is, that gloom that is described in that thick darkness, the gloom that comes, it feels like a weight. It feels like something has come down on us. And God showed the children of Israel, yes, that darkness comes. There will be that comes into your life because sin has come into the world. But I am there. I am there to guide you, to comfort you, to enable you to feel my closeness. And he says to us today that the darkness will not win. Amen. Amen. The darkness will not win. We see this as God sent his only son. In John chapter 1, we see the picture of Christmas itself. In him was life. In Jesus was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. The darkness will not win. Darkness cannot be victorious in our life if we realize that God is with us and that he is love, that his presence is. Let's just breathe that in for a moment. Let's just breathe the scripture in. Let it inspire us for a moment to realize that whatever darkness is coming against us, whether it's spiritual darkness or emotional darkness, whatever the challenge is that is coming into our life, the gloom that attempts to settle, that God is there. Let it come into us. Let his word just resonate in our life. As we breathe them in like Adam did, just take it in for a moment spiritually.
Let his breath come. His loving presence enter us. Not only around us as he's everywhere, but he has created us with the ability to know him. We are his children. And his presence comes into us. I tell you, it's one of the thrills, one of the greatest thrills of being a missionary in a place like Nepal, is I get to see that happen in people's lives for the very first time. When they go from never hearing the name of Jesus to understanding that Jesus is the Son of God who came to make them able to breathe God in, to be inspired, to know God, to be able to feel his presence. And when that moment, you can see it in their eyes. It is amazing. When they will open and receive it, they don't understand everything yet. They got this, that's our job, discipleship, right? Go and make disciples. But God inspires. Amen? God breathes in. Then our work is the teaching and pastoring. But in that moment, when you see it, when you just see it, sometimes it's like, you know, the leaders, like the older men, you'll see it and they're tough, you know, and they're not really sure about it. We always go to them first. When we go to a village, we ask for the leadership. We get to know them. They appreciate that we have shown value to them. And then we ask them, you know, and they'll say, well, what stories are you going to tell? There's an opening. You know, we're like, oh, okay, I guess we'll tell you, you know. So then we tell them. We tell them the story. We start usually with Moses as a baby, and we bring it up. And you can see it when we get to Christ and we get to God. You can see it when it hits them. And they're like, and they're staring at us like, I can't believe that we have tried to find, that we've sought through all of these religions that end in nothing. All these paths that go nowhere but leave us empty. But they have been created with the ability to know God, and they have been created with a longing to know God. Amen? Just like us. And it's with that confidence that we go into the darkness. We go into those places because we know God is there and he's working in their lives. And he's made them able to know him. And he has made a longing in them that is waiting for the moment when they feel his presence for the first time. God's here this morning. Amen. God's presence is here. When two or three meet together, there's something special that begins to happen. God begins to come close. He pushes out all of the other thoughts as we begin to worship him and sing of him. Everything else moves, and we are just focusing in on God so that he can inspire us, that he can breathe into us. It comes and it brings healing. It brings comfort. It brings peace, and it brings joy, no matter how thick the darkness may be. There is a peace that comes from a loving God that comes to inspire us. And not only does he inspire us, not only does he breathe into us, but he makes us able. He makes us empowered to be able to take his presence, his loving presence, to others who are in darkness, to those who are waiting to know that he's there with them. Those who are as we were before we knew what God could do, what a loving God can do in the darkness. He gives us the gifts. Was perfect this morning. He gives us the gifts. He gives us the words to say. He gives us the ability. He gives us the blessings that we need. He empowers us to meet him in the darkness that's all around us. But that light that is in us, the light that overcomes darkness, the light that darkness can't be victorious about, that the light that's in us, that message of Jesus, it only goes where we take it. Amen? Because God has chosen us. Once he has inspired us, once he has come and made his residence in us, we call Emmanuel, God with us, then we have what those in darkness are waiting for. They're waiting to know that there's a God that loves them. There's villages in Nepal that are still waiting to hear that message. There's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. They're waiting to know the way, to have that longing fulfilled in their life. Maybe you're here this morning, and you feel you're living in spiritual darkness. You've yet to be freed of that. You feel like you don't really know God. You've come this morning and you feel that longing. You feel the draw, but there's still not been that opening of your heart yet. Or maybe you're here and you've allowed darkness to come between you and God. You felt that something else has come and now you don't feel the closeness that you once did. This morning we breathed in his word. Amen. We have felt that is God coming, his closeness, his loving presence coming to tell us that he's always been right there. Always been just right there. Wanting for his presence to show us just how much he loves us. He's been working in our life. He's been working around our life. And he wants us to open ourselves to him and let him come and breathe inspiration into our life. And he wants to use us. Use us to share that message with those who are waiting to know just how much he loves them. Heavenly Father, we feel your presence. Heavenly Father, we feel your closeness. We thank you that you have created us with the ability to know you, God. That we're not here this morning in a hope that is not filled with your presence. With a longing that is not able to be fulfilled by your presence. But God, you have created us to be your children so that we would know your love. And as we sense your love today, that closeness that is you, as we sense your love, God, Lord, we breathe in. We just take it in, God. The hurts and the pains, the darkness, the gloom, God. That has tried to cover us and smother us. We breathe in the power of your love today, God. We receive your spirit, your loving presence that comes and makes us victorious over the darkness. As we're in this beautiful, beautiful time of prayer, this presence of God that's so close and so loving. Just in my mind, I picture the shepherds. There they are out on the field and they're watching their sheep and it's dark. Maybe they got a little fire, but just beyond where that fire can light, it's dark. They don't know what's out there. They're just there. They're watching their sheep as they're there could be wolves or lions, and they're sitting there with just a small light from a fire probably, and suddenly everything changes, not just for those shepherds, but for the entire world, as the heavens are filled with light. The scripture says the glory of the Lord shined all around them. So bright that it made them afraid at first. But then they heard the message. Then they heard the message. A child is born and he shall be a savior. He will come into your darkness this morning. Because from that moment on, everything changed. The world changed. Because God so loved the world. That he came into the darkness of the world. And he will come into our darkness today, whatever it is. Spiritual, emotional, whatever the cause. There is nothing that can be victorious against the love of God in our life. Working in us and through us. So, Heavenly Father, we breathe you in today. And receive you in your love. And we thank you, God, that you bring light to us. And you make us a light into the world.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.